Always like to start with a couple of thoughts to inspire you. And the first one comes from a poster that I saw at a hospital this week when I was making a visit. Here's what it said. This is a pickle-free zone. So you imagine a pickle on there. Please, it says, leave your gossiping, complaining, criticizing, and toxic emotional negativity at the door. Pretty good. But the second one is really profound, and it comes from St. John Vianney, who says this: I wish I could lose myself and never find myself except in God. Isn't that beautiful? As always, it is so good to be with you, and I truly enjoy our time together each week. And I appreciate you making the effort to come to Mass, because we're a family, we're a community, and it's great to belong to a people who really care about you. And that's the definition of St. Albert the Great. We're following some readings currently in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, and they are nothing short of awe-inspiring. What they do is they provide us with some really wonderful instruction on how to deal with some of life's important issues, but doing it from a faith-based perspective. And after all, as Christians, that's how we want to live out our lives, right? From a faith-based perspective. And it took me all week to be able to say those three words without jumbling them all up. So I got them right tonight. So that's a good sign. Well, last week we focused on ridding ourselves of jealousy. Jealousy is a downer. It's truly an emotional drain. And why would you want to be jealous of what other people have? Because as the scriptures affirm, God has created a personal, wonderful, prosperous destiny for each one of us. We don't need what others have. We take and we receive the provisions that God has for us. And then this week, we're going to flip the coin to the other side. Now, somebody asked me after Mass this morning, what are you going to talk about next week? Well, it won't be one of these items, because there's only two sides to a coin, right? But we don't have three sides. But this side is called bragging. And Paul makes it very clear in several places in his first letter to the Corinthians that there were some within the church who were not jealous of what others had, but there were some who were bragging about what their gifts were, what spiritual gifts they had been given. But in reality, God is the one who gave them the gifts. They didn't do anything to earn that. But what they were doing is sort of like the commercial goes where it says, my gifts are better than your gifts. In other words, I'm better than you. And it was this puffing up of people's egos that was causing a great divide within the church there. And there was a great sense of peace and unity and harmony in the community. But now that was in jeopardy because of jealousy and because of bragging. Now, bragging is a very important topic to address, because it's sort of a neutral kind of thing. It can be used for healthy or it can be used for unhealthy purposes. Let me give you some good healthy bragging. Healthy bragging is something that we actually begin to do from the start of birth, from day one when we are born. For example, when we look into the face of a newborn and tell them how beautiful they are, they don't know what we're saying, the words, but they sure can pick up on the tone. And they know that something is there that's very special and very important and makes them feel comforted. And then they grow a little more and more, and then they take that first step, or they say their first word, and we look at them and we say, you're just wonderful. You're just wonderful. And oh, how that makes them feel good inside about themselves. And then there's all the oohs and all the ahs that come after that, that are bestowed upon them for, like, the first time when they count to the number 10, when they get all the way to 10, or they receive their baptism, or they're singing in the Christmas play, or they share their toys with their brothers and sisters. See, when we use it in a healthy way, bragging makes the one on the receiving end feel good about themselves, and what it does, it develops a healthy image that will go with them through the rest of their life. But there's a challenge that comes in the teen and the early adult years, because basically, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that billions of advertising dollars are spent each year trying to tell us what makes us important, what makes us feel good about ourselves, what sets us apart from others. And it's not that they really care about you, but it really has a whole lot to do with the fact that they want you to go out and buy or get online and buy their services or their goods or their products. What happens is we, at this point, we run the risk of being skewed in our pursuit of being whole in who we are in God. And it can cause us to detour down a path which I call the path of arrogance. Let me ask you a question this evening. Do you like being around people that are arrogant? Isn't it fun? Well, no, it's not. You know, when people are so puffed up that they think that they're better than you, who wants any part of that? It's once again, it's another one of those drainers. And here's an interesting thing that I read just the other day. An article suggested that professionals are especially prone to fall into the trap of arrogance. Why? Because they are likely to have more possessions than other people have. It's like, hey, look at me. Look at what I can do. So right out of the chute, let me offer you a great piece of wisdom that comes from the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah said this, "Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches." See, what happens is this. If it is left unchecked, if we don't make the correction, the mid-course correction that we need to make in life, it can lead us to all kinds of stressful situations in life. And here's why. Hey, I believe that I made all these things. I created all of these things. And guess what? I'm responsible for fixing them when they fall apart. I'm responsible for repairing them or when they fail. And at the same time, I'm responsible for helping them to grow bigger and bigger. So arrogance can lead to a lot of stress in life. Because the Bible is very contemporary, let me give you three examples of this. The first one is that arrogance can lead to heart attacks or strokes. Now, what did Jesus say in the gospel? Listen to what he said. He said, "A rich man produced a crop that was good. And he says to himself, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my barns, and I'm going to build bigger barns. And then I will say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for you for many years." And what did Jesus say in that parable? He said, "But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you." Sounds so stressful, doesn't it? Arrogance will do that to you. Arrogance can also lead to hostile takeovers. Did you know that's in the Bible? Somebody's asking me that this morning. I didn't know there was anything in the Bible about hostile takeovers. But yes, if you go in the Old Testament of all places, you find a man that's named Hezekiah, and he was king. And there was an envoy that came from the great nation Babylon. And what does he do? Well, Hezekiah is so full of himself, he says, hey, I'm going to show you what I've got. So the scriptures tell us that he took them through every one of his treasure houses. He showed them his gold. He showed them his silver. He showed them his spices. He showed them his oil. He showed them everything in the palace and in the kingdom. And then they went back and they told the king of Babylon. Well, during that time, Isaiah the prophet comes up to Hezekiah and says, did you do this? And Hezekiah says, well, yes, I did. Well, Isaiah says to him, everything in this palace and in all of your country, everything that your fathers have accumulated over the years, the Babylonians are going to come in and they're going to take it away. Well, wouldn't you know, when the king of Babylon heard about all of these riches, what did he do? He went in and he took the place. He took it over. And it was a sorrowful time. So it can lead to that. Arrogance can also lead to mental collapse. There's nothing more stressful than when you feel like you have to bear the burden on your shoulders. And there's a great example of this in the Old Testament in the fourth chapter of Daniel. And it's about a king that was named Nebuchadnezzar. Have you ever heard of him? Listen to what happened to the king Nebuchadnezzar. Well, one night he was sitting out on his veranda, and you know, he had this grand view of his kingdom and in all of his palace and his cities. And here's what he said. He said, "Is this not the great Babylon that I have built by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" Sort of puffed up, wouldn't you say? A little bit of arrogance there. Well, the scriptures teach us that it is immediately after saying these words that the king is driven away from his people and that he eats grass like cattle. He goes around eating grass. In other words, he broke down. He had a breakdown. And it says he was in this state for 7 years. And it tells us that his hair, well, if you hadn't had your hair cut in 7 years, it probably would look as long as the feather of an eagle, but I don't know what that looks like, but back in those days they did. Or it says that his nails became long as the claws of a bird. But the thing is, he just sort of wandered around. He lost it. He was full of himself. But it says that after 7 years, he comes to his senses. He realizes that, hey, I am not God. I'm not the one who all this is for. And it says when he does that, it says that his sanity was restored. So arrogance can put us in a whole lot of stressful situations. So let me share with you quickly as I close two things that you can do that Paul teaches us from a faith-based perspective. I didn't say it, did I? A faith-based perspective in order to how that you can maintain a healthy perspective on bragging. The first thing is this. This is important, but not as important as the second point. All possessions, all of them, such as wisdom, human strength, and wealth, they are merely temporary provisions for life. That's all they are. They're nothing more than that. Why? Because God's created you for something greater. He's created you for something more. Provisions are temporary at best. And isn't that why Jesus said to his disciples, he said, hey, don't seek after the treasures of earth because they will rust, they'll rot, and they'll be taken away from you. But he says, seek treasure in heaven. All that our possessions, whatever type of form of possession they may be, all the purpose of possessions is merely to sustain us. It is to sustain us as we pursue the greater good, something that we, as we shall see, that we do need to boast about in life. Isn't that what we heard in the first reading this evening? What did the prophet say? Cursed is the one who trusts in human beings, who seeks the strength in flesh. They are like a barren bush in the desert that stands in a lava waste. But, he says, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. And that leads us into the second and the most important point. You have to remember this, my dear brother and sister. You were made for more. You were made for a lot more than sustenance in life, a whole lot more. And when you have to remember that developing a healthy understanding of who you are and who you are in God, it's a process. It's not something that you get immediately when you're born into this life. Now, in the early years, it's something that we are taught through example, right? But later on in life, as one old preacher used to say, it's something that is caught, meaning that it is something that we integrate into our lives. So I encourage you, wherever you may be in life this evening, pursue the only thing that will make you feel good about life. Everything pales in comparison. Only one thing, and it is our source of confidence. It is our highest worth. It is our greatest wealth, our awesomest strength, and our never-ending joy. And that one thing is God. It is God. Pursue Him. And pursue Him because you can. Because you can. And that was the great words of wisdom that Paul has in the next 2 weeks prior and the next 2 weeks in his letter, in the readings, in the scriptures, where he talks about, hey, because of what Jesus did for you, Jesus died for your sins in order that you might be restored to God. So you're made for more in life. You're worth more than mere provisions in life. And if that were not enough, Jesus, who was resurrected from the dead, will one day resurrect you from the dead and will take you to be with him forever in heaven. What a wonderful word that is. And this gets us back to the topic of this really has a great implication for us in what it is that we are to boast about in life, because this is really something worth boasting. The other stuff really isn't worth boasting about. It's just temporary kinds of things. This is worth boasting. Listen to some of the infinite wisdom that God shares through the scriptures about boasting in the Lord. In the Old Testament, we read these words: "Let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For it is in these things, God says, that I delight." Or this one is sort of like, it just really nails the whole homily right here. It's of words that Paul wrote to Timothy. Listen to what he said. He said, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in these things which are so uncertain, but to put their hope in the Lord. In this way," Paul says, "they will truly take hold of the life that is truly life." There is the source of life, not in these other things. And then he says to the church at Corinth in the first chapter of this letter, he says, "Let him who boasts," do you know what he says? "Boast in the Lord." Boast in the Lord. See, boasting's a good thing, but it's not about boasting about you. It's about boasting in the Lord. So I'd like to leave you with two thoughts for reflection this evening. The message hashtag is boast in the Lord. Jealousy and arrogance, they are such downers, they're such drainers in life. Why would you torture yourself like that? Why would you do that when God has made you for so much more? Boast, but boast about your relationship with God. Boast in the Lord. And the second thing is this. This is a deeply profound statement. It takes a while to think about this one. But someone wrote this. This is about this integration of life as we grow and mature and get older. "There should come a time in the life of every Christian when they merely become God's instrument and nothing more. That's all they are, because that's all they need." God bless each one of you.